Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We continue our conversation on COVID-19 and how it affects the sports world, and we also get you set for the NFL draft coming up next Thursday, and a man that is expected to hear his name called in the first round is Jordan Love out of Utah State. And this past season, he was coached by Gary Anderson at Utah State, and the coach is kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Coach Gary Anderson, how are you and the family holding up? Thanks for a few minutes.
We're doing well, Zach. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, it's always an adjustment. It's a crazy time, but still blessed and fortunate to be able to host the show each and every day and try to serve that distraction to people. What is your quarantine life like right now, Coach, when we're all adjusting to this as well?
Well, you know, I think here in Logan, Utah, Cache Valley as a whole, everybody's doing a great job of social distancing and just out for the necessities for our kids. Within the program, all but about 25 of them are at home. 25 of them, quite frankly, this is their home and the best place for them to be. So we've like you said, we've adjusted. We've learned a lot of new. There's a lot of new when it comes to academics. I think Utah State University as a whole, with the professors and the coordinators of all the online classes and our academic support, be along with our assistant coaches, have done a fantastic job of letting kids adjust to be all online. And you know, you've got the workouts that they're getting from online, a lot of Zoom meetings within position meetings and unit meetings and team meetings. So it's very unique. I'm proud of our group of kids, which I'm sure, you know, kids are, they respond to an organized situation that they can be productive in. And we've done our best to present that to them. And like I said earlier, I think our coaches and the whole community around here has done a tremendous job of giving them a chance to still be successful in school and do what they can to maintain from a athletic standpoint and get better mentally from an athletic standpoint.
We're at point A, Coach, and we're trying to get to point B, which is the finish line. But right now we don't know when and how we're going to get to point B. I know a lot of this is ambiguous, but when it gets to the college football season, are you at least optimistic that we'll have college football in the fall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're not going to beat that one out of me. That's for sure. I'm staying optimistic. I feel like we absolutely will. And it's we all want it. We all need it. But we all have to understand that there is something more important than college football when we're sitting talking about that. And that's, you know, to get in the world back as to much of a normalcy as we can. And when it's time to play football, we'll play football. But I just think with the great research and what's going on, and I surely don't have any of the answers, but I'm hopeful and extremely optimistic that we will play football. What that looks like, I don't know. I think that's one of the greatest challenges, and we all like those challenges. Whatever it looks like and whatever is presented in front of us, we all need to react to when we're given that opportunity to go play again and quite frankly, train again and see kids walking around on campus again. Those will be great days for all of us. And but getting the economy back up and running, I think, is the number one priority. And when we get the opportunity to bring back football, then we'll all be excited. But I think it will happen.
It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. These are scary times and unprecedented times. A lot of times in that coach and college student-athlete relationship, you were viewed as the father figure here. When players reach out to you and they say they're concerned or, you know, they have some anxiety with what's going on in the world, how do you try to be there for your players right now when you're not allowed to be in the same room as them?
Well, I think that's a huge priority right now, and that starts with building that trust and those relationships long ago. We've been here for now a year and a half, and we have tremendous relationships with our kids. It's having those weekly meetings, not just waiting for them to reach out, but our coaches actually handling this time, even though they, like you say, you're on the phone, it's text messages, it's FaceTime, whatever it may be. Sometimes it's Zoom chat times when they're sitting there talking to each other, is to let them know that, you know, we're still operating, that every week we want to sit down and have a real conversation with our student athletes. And it's not just come in and let's talk about football, let's talk about the weight room, let's talk about the run you have today, let's talk about real life. And so reaching out and communicating with them and asking those questions, is everything okay? And, you know, last week I went through and I called every kid just to personally to make sure my question was nothing about other than how's things at home? How's your living environment? Because you don't know when somebody loses a job, the stressors that puts on a family, could be some illnesses in the family. You never know what's going on in those situations. All of a sudden, a couple of our households have two or three kids in college, and, you know, mom and dad could have been empty nesters, and all of a sudden they got three kids back home with them. And, you know, that may be really awesome for a couple of weeks, but there's stressors that come with that. So communication, education, and just let our kids know that we're there for them now, and they knew we were before this all took place. So I think we're in a really good place. Our kids will communicate with us, and we just try to drive it home to please talk to us about any concerns that you have, because no problem is too small.
Gary Anderson here with us on CBS Sports Radio, the head football coach at Utah State. With how unclear this entire thing is and who knows when the season is going to start, how long do you think you need to be with your players to be okay to put them on the field and have them be trained to go through the ups and downs of a season?
Well, again, that's another great question. And we are challenging our kids. We put a date on them because I needed a date. I needed a date to say, okay, this is where we're at for myself, just as much for them. So we put a training cycle through June 1st for these kids, and we're asking them to go through and follow it with the strength coaches, follow the running program, the workout program. Some of them have weights, some of them don't. Some of them have a living room. Whatever it is, they have a workout program that they can do. So we're asking them to, you know, maintain some strength levels and, quite frankly, gain an advantage within their running, and they can do that. And so we expect them, when they do come back here, whenever that may be, if it's June 1st, we'll reset another program through the month of June and July or whatever it takes when they're not with us. But they will be asked, when they come back, they'll be expected to meet certain criteria within their conditioning and their workouts when they come back in. I think that's a good thing for kids to have goals, and other kids are more fortunate to have more equipment, I guess, than others. But when they come back in here, it's a process. And so I would say we have to rely on the professionals in that setting, in that situation. We're all going to get back at the same time. Is that going to be we've got them for 6 weeks of summer training. You know, typically training cycles in the wintertime are 7 to 8 weeks. That's what most strength coaches like to have, to get kids back after Christmas, after bowl games, what have you, depending on how your season went. They like to have a 7 or 8 week cycle of strength training and getting them ready to walk into spring football. Well, the summer's really no different. It's a 7 to 8 week cycle. That's ideal. Do we get that long? I don't know, but I know that that's the ideal time that most strength coaches throughout the country would tell you, to get them ready to go participate in a camp. If that has to be adjusted, then we adjust it, but that would be the perfect world.
I also saw some ideas that maybe the college football season is played from February through April. And then there's also that thought about maybe playing games without fans. How about those two totally moving the season back and possibly playing without fans?
Yeah, I think we just need to be able to be adjustable to where we are. We'll be, there's probably better places to play football in the month of February than Logan, Utah, and University of Wyoming and Air Force, and I can go on in our conference. So the weather could be highly interesting, but if that's what it comes down to, you have to adjust. I hope it doesn't come that to that late of a time frame, and that just, you know, sets it all back for the next year and the next year. But we all have to understand that people are going to make these decisions that are best for kids, number one, and I believe that the people that will make those decisions will make those decisions. Playing without fans, is that ideal for kids? No, but I would say this. Playing without fans would be much more attractive to me than playing a season that's pushed back by months and by months and by months. You know, there's a lot of different ideas out there.
we'll follow suit and do whatever we what we need to do to help the universities get back up and running, and respect our universities, respect our conference, and quite frankly, respect the student athletes, which they're the most important part of this whole thing.
Gary Anderson here with us, the head football coach at Utah State. Let's get into a little draft conversation. Jordan Love expected to go in the first round next Thursday night in the draft. You got to coach him last year. If a team selects him in that first round, what type of player are they getting in Jordan Love?
Well, I think they're going to get a very, very unique and special arm strength. If we just talk sheer athletic ability, he can make all the throws and he can adjust the throws. A lot of kids control the ball really hard. A lot of the kids control the ball to good spots, but he can adjust his speed. He can adjust from the all three levels, from the short routes to the intermediate routes to the deep routes, and he can change the speed. He also can let go of the ball at different areas. He doesn't have to have it at a perfect position in the pocket and a perfect throwing motion to get the ball out where it needs to be, which I think is unique for him. He's quite a good athlete, and I think what he does is he plays the game of football with really good angles. And when I say that, I mean that in his throw game, and I also mean that in his ability to escape. He has a great feel of understanding what the angles are of the defenders that are closing in on him and gaining what he can, but yet stay safe as a quarterback. And he showed that with his legs all year long. And he's been through, from a mental standpoint, this young man has been through a lot in his life and has handled extremely well. His mother is an absolute superstar as a mom, in my opinion. And the kid has just grown up in an environment of dealing with, if it's adversity, we'll deal with it. If it's great, we'll deal with it. And he stays pretty even, if you will, even keel kid in the good and the bad. He was a tremendous leader for us. He was very open with me in his discussions as he went through his time as, he came out early, obviously. A lot of kids will kind of go into a shell. They'll be getting information from people that think that they have their best interest out for the kid, but they truly don't. They just want him to be his agent or whatever it was going to be at that point. But we had great discussions about all those things. So he's a tremendous young man. He's a tremendous talent. He was a great leader. You know, a unique thing for us is he lost 80% of his production of the offense, of his wide receivers last year. He lost four all-conference offensive linemen from the team before last season. His returning tackle, starting left tackle, got hurt early in the season. So there was a lot that went through. Not one time did he bat an eye. Did he say, woe is me? Why does this have to happen to me in this special year for myself? He kept on plowing and plugging and do what he could to be able to win. So he's a team guy also.
So you believe he's more of the quarterback that was 32 touchdowns to 6 interceptions than what we saw last year with the 20 touchdowns to 17 picks?
Oh, yeah. Because of the inexperience of a football team with so many new starters. You know, we brought in two transfer wide receivers that came in, did a great job for us. The wide receivers did all they could. The offensive line battled like crazy and got better every year. But, you know, this game, there's 11 guys on that field. The quarterback touches the ball virtually every snap. Yes, that's very true. He makes decisions every snap. But his ability to have those special playmakers around him really helps him. And he lost some valuable experience in a lot of those positions. So when he has a stabilizing force, we had some really good players on our team. I'm not discounting from the team that we had. We did some great things. But Jordan made them better as the year went on. And if I would say from, you know, the season before until last season, Jordan had an opportunity to help a team continually fight to get better. It was much more difficult week in and week out. We had 7 football games that came down to basically the last minute of the game. And we lost the first game against Wake Forest. We lost the bowl game against Kent State in a very tightly contested game. We won the other 5. And Jordan was huge on the field and off the field, allowing us to have the success that we had in 2019. So I think he's going to be a combination of both.
Coach, I'll tell you what's so crazy about this entire story when you just look at it from a football perspective is this kid is going to be a first-round pick. His freshman year of high school, he was on the freshman football team as a backup. His sophomore year, he was starting on the JV team, and then eventually in his junior year became the starter in high school for the varsity. It seems as if he still has so much room to grow, and we're still talking as if he's going to most likely be that third or fourth quarterback off the board and be in the first round of this draft.
Yeah, I believe he will be. And, you know, we pride ourselves at Utah State and have for many, many years to be a developmental program, and Jordan has just been he's a poster child for us in a very positive way in that area. He came in here, he gained weight, he learned a game of football, he waited his time patiently to get on the field and play. And just the way he developed his body was fantastic. I think that's really going to help him in the league, whether he is forced to go in and play early, which nobody really wants with the quarterback. We all know that. But if he has to do that, he will, and he'll do his best. But if he sits back and he can sit back and learn and understand where it's going, he's going to be a tremendous team guy. But it's a great story of just perseverance and fighting. And, you know, he's been through some things in his life that are very, very difficult that you don't want any child or any young man or young woman to go through. And he's battled through those things with, again, some tremendous, tremendous help from family members and a superstar as a mom. But he did it at the end. He's got him in this spot, and that's why I know I have a big smile on my face when his name is called early in that draft next week.
And his dad was a big advocate to him playing football. And for those that don't know, it's such a somber story where his dad did take his own life when Jordan was in high school. I know you touched on the mom and you were around Jordan this past year, but when you hear more about the person he is and what he's had to go through and his family and his support system now, you know, just reflect a little bit on that. I know you said it a few times that he's gone through more than anyone probably could imagine, and it's 100% true when you hear the entire story.
Yeah, it is. And again, Jordan is the tough times that he has, I think, got him in the position where he is as a leader, where he is as a man now as he walks in here, and how he handled all of the, you know, potential curveballs that could have come his way and derailed him a little bit at times as he went through the season. He had some opportunities to become derailed, but he never did. He never had. He always kept himself on the right track, moving forward and pushing and grinding. And I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, some of those, he has high expectations. He has high goals. He's set to be great in his mind. He doesn't have any real drive to be good or just be okay. His drive is to be great, and he pushes himself. And he's learned that along the way from, from his father. He learned it from, obviously, from his mother and continues to, and from his family members, he continues to learn that. So it's just it's a great family story, and to, you know, sit and see mom, you know, smiling at the bowl game when you're getting ready to know what he was going to be going through to play in that bowl game and know she's going through crazy things that she never knew what it was at that point, but she does now. But to see her smiling really makes you feel good as a coach and as a university that you were able to give that young man that opportunity, and he took full advantage of it.
Last one for the coach at Utah State, Gary Anderson, here with us on the show. I know player comps are always, you know, difficult, but is there a quarterback that he reminds you of?
Oh boy, you know, I don't know if there's one that he reminds me of. I guess the thing that I would say is I'm a defensive guy, so I'm far from a quarterback guru. I don't sit down and say, I'll tell you if this quarterback's going to be any good or what, da 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 da. I just know I compare the quarterbacks when I look at them and say, man, I'm as a defensive coordinator, I'm not real fired up about playing that guy. And you know, we had Alex Smith back in the day, a long time ago, back at Utah, and I was the D-line coach, and Alex was special in his time when he was at Utah, and obviously has had a tremendous career. But they remind me a little bit about each other in college, and that's who I'm closest with, so I can compare. Alex, you know, he ran when he needed to, and that was kind of the opening up of the offenses at that time, and, you know, it was the spread offense was kind of just happening. But Alex did a great job of pulling the ball when he needed to and made good decisions, and Jordan is much the same. He can make any throw that he wants to, any throw that he needs to, and I think they're ultimate competitors. So that would be the comparison that I could give you.
Coach, appreciate the time. Really do thank you for coming on. Good health and good luck to you, your family, and also your program. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Same to you. I appreciate it, and God bless everybody. Be safe. Go Aggies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.